It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlanta's Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here on a Sunday morning in the 10 o'clock hour. We go back to the phones here in just a moment. We've talked about how Facebook just did a face plant this week, losing almost $120 billion in value. That $120 billion is larger. That their drop is larger than the market cap, the actual size of 157 of the 500 companies that are in the S&P 500. That's how big of a hit they took this week. We've already talked about a trade win for the United States. We've been on tariff alert all week here, all year here on Money Matters, watching this negotiation between our government and governments around the world. This week, a win when leaders here in the United States, so President Trump and European Commission President Jean-Claude Juncker, basically said, look, you know, we're a big trading partner with the United States. We have the largest bilateral trade investment relationship in the world, 900 billion euros. It's $1 trillion. And they want to keep it growing. So they both put away their swords. We're not going to do auto tariffs on everything coming in here in Europe. And I don't know, for that, the European Union says, hey, we're going to buy some soybeans from you guys because the Chinese aren't doing it right now. So we'll step in. Okay, thank you. Thank you. So this push and push and push has actually resulted in now we have a trade ally. You think it's going to be a little easier to take on China now that we have a big part of the globe, $1 trillion trading partner now to some extent or potentially on our side? We'll see if this sticks. It certainly could go wrong, at least for now, all this pushing and pushing and pushing has resulted in, Maybe we now have a better shot or even more leverage. And we always should have had leverage, and we do. President Trump knows that. But now you get the Europeans on board. Maybe the two of us together can make some real headway with fairer trade when it comes to China. Now, we're going to go back to the phones here. Again, the number in the studio, your calls, questions, whether it's a pension versus a lump sum question or an investment question or a product question, we'd love to help here on a Sunday morning in the most objective way humanly possible. 404-872-0750, the number. Again, 404-872-0750. 1-800-WSB-TALK. We'll go back to Eric, who joins us from Atlanta. Now, Eric, thanks for holding. We didn't have a lot of time there. You had a question about a company that effectively says, hey, if you come trade with us, it's free. And you're a little suspect of that, and I think we should be. And that's so you haven't opened up an account with this company, but you're just a little worried about the business model, maybe.
Actually, no, I have opened up an account. Okay. I've actually gotten a few. They give away free stock if you get people to help join.
So not only do they do trading for free, but they give you free stock. Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. You know, it just reminds. Once again, I go back to that. I keep thinking of Robin Hood, Men in Tights. I keep thinking of, you know, just strange things that, like, how are they going to make their money? I haven't sold anything with them yet, but I've just made small purchases. I mean, even some.
Hold on, Eric. You just said Robin Hood, Men in Tights, and it's Sunday morning. People are thinking, what did he just say? What? The reason Eric said that is the company he's talking about is actually called Robin Hood. And to some extent, it's a play on take from the rich, give to the poor, and effectively saying, hey, look, trading here at Robinhood is free. But there's always something more to the story. When an economic picture doesn't make sense.
Correct.
It eventually doesn't make sense and it doesn't work. Now, let me just tell you, and you probably know this, you probably figured this out. First of all, trading is already almost a free game, right? So if somebody had come out 20 years ago and said, we're going to do free trading, that would have been kind of just unbelievable. Today, trading is already, the cost to trade at Fidelity and Schwab and Vanguard, we're talking about trades that are like less than $5 already. So trading itself, Eric, remember, has almost gotten free. So how are these big companies doing that? Well, they're not really making their money on trading anymore. The robo advisors that are supposedly free, they're not making money on trading. They're making money on what's called net interest margin. So as long as you keep cash sitting around at these companies, and typically in investment accounts, that happens, you get dividends, they may not be on reinvest, the money sits there and sits there and sits there. And let's say a large institution, let's say like Schwab or Fidelity, they're going to have billions of dollars in cash just sitting around in client accounts. They're going to have trillions of dollars in investments. They're going to have, let's say, billions, maybe even hundreds of billions sitting around in cash. Well, how do they make money on that? That's where they make almost all their revenue. So especially as interest rates are going up. So if the federal funds rate is ticking up to 1.75 and then 2 and then 2.25, a financial institution or a bank can make money on a net interest margin. So if they're making 2% and they're paying you, remember, you haven't seen interest rates for your checking account skyrocket. They haven't followed step for step what the Fed has done, have they? No. Because it's just like a gas station owner, when prices go down for gas and oil, they don't immediately drop the price of gas. They let it slowly go down so they can make extra because they start buying it at a cheaper level. It's kind of the same story in reverse for banks. Interest rates go up. Now they're making 2%. They're paying you less than 1%. That's called net interest margin. That's how a company like Robinhood is probably pitching their private equity shareholders. And so they're saying, if we can get this thing big enough, we're going to have a bunch of money sitting around in cash. We'll pay our investors 0.5% and we're making 2%. That's how they're really going to make money. It's the net interest margin game. And it's got to be done at massive, massive scale or the whole house and the foundation tumbles. And I think that's the story we're seeing here. You know, the whole robo advice or fintech industry is kind of interesting. It's a cover of Barron's this week. The cover of Barron's says Robo Rising, an exclusive ranking of robo advisors from performance to technology. And one of the stories here at the beginning, and Barron's says, look, we wrote about this back in 2010, so 8 years ago. And they said, look, in our first cover story with the robos, the Wealthfront CEO, Adam Nash, predicted that in the next 10 years, everyone's going to be using some form of automated investment service. Well, here we are 8 years in, and that couldn't be farther from the truth. What we've found out is that, well, first of all, the investment industry reacted very quickly to that. So there was this fear, oh, wow, wait a minute, robo-advice or robo-trading is just going to take over everything. All humans are going to get fired. That has not happened whatsoever. There were, back when we first, or Barron's first published his article, there were 319,000 financial advisors. Today, there are about 311,000 financial advisors. So there's about 3% less advisors over almost a decade. When the CEO of one of these big robo firms said, hey, all advice is going robo, digital, no more need for human advice. That just didn't happen. This didn't happen. It didn't happen for a lot of reasons. One, big investment companies just put out their own robo product. So Vanguard is a robo product. Betterment's it's kind of its own startup within the robo world. But E-Trade was already a massive company. They put out their own robo solution. Schwab, massive company. They put out their own robo solution. So what effectively happened is that the big investment companies just said, well, okay, if there are a couple startups that are supposed to take us over, then we'll just do our own robo-advice company. But what's ironic here is that the robo-industry is probably the most successful story of remarketing something that already exists to create the most massive, I keep using the word massive today, the most, I would say, oversold, remarketed story of all time. Vanguard has effectively been doing, quote, robo investing or robo advice for decades. What's a target date retirement fund? It's a fund that basically runs on a formula that just says we're going to have a certain amount of U.S. international, we're going to have a certain amount of fixed income and mutual funds and investment strategies for years have been based on algorithms that say we should buy this kind of stock at this time and we should sell this kind of stock at this time. So Wall Street's already been running on, quote, robo or algo. So Vanguard, how is a robo advisor or a robo advice firm any different than the Vanguard target date fund that's been around for decades? The answer is the only thing that changed was just a remarketing or a rebranding of an industry that already existed. It's kind of like the water industry. It's like we've had water for 1,000 years. Now we're going to put it in bottles, and all of a sudden it's going to be a revolution. It's going to be a whole new business, the water business. What's the change? We already have water. Well, now we're going to put it in a bottle, and we're going to sell it. That's exactly what the robo-advice industry did. Except for it didn't take over the world like so many folks thought it would 10 years ago. And the reason it hasn't taken over the world is because it really offers nothing new. It is the same exact thing that's already been around for decades and that basically has a fancier user interface or a better app and makes it look a little bit better, but hasn't really offered anything new. And what it did is it stripped away, or at least it tried to, human advice. And it tried to say, well, we can do this because of an algorithm. We can do this without humans, and you don't need to talk to anybody. Well, guess what? Investing is so much more than just numbers. It's not black and white. It's not a perfect science. It is something that deals with enormous amount of emotion. And it's an enormously personal event in your life that's ongoing. And as far as I know, that piece of the equation, which is at least half, maybe more, cannot be outsourced. And you can't be friends with a robot. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. You're going to run news, weather, traffic. Then we'll go back to the phones here. Number in the studio, 404-872-0750. More Money Matters straight ahead.
Now back to Wes Moss and the money and investing advice you need.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here on a Sunday morning. Ryan and I just had a epiphany, if you will, where we, for the past year, and again, I've noted earlier today that there's a lot happening in corporate America right here in Georgia, even though we have this wonderful gross domestic product. I'm talking about GDP in just a second. You got a ton of companies that are going, they're saying, look, you know, we're putting you into a scenario where we're forcing you to take either a lump sum or a pension. And which one do you do? I mean, it's a major life choice. Do I take this 500 grand or I take 2 grand a month? Which is the better deal? And I think what we're going to do next Sunday is we're going to have pension lump sum Sunday. We're going to have pension lump sum Sunday, and we're going to answer as many pension lump sum questions as we can. Exactly what we're going to do right now. Rick joins us from Atlanta. Rick, what's going on? How can we help, man?
I work for a major Fortune 500 company in Atlanta, and I can retire within a few months. And my question is this: should I take my funds, walk away, and reinvest in an IRA, or should I let it sit there and let the company give me a monthly check and perhaps hope that they don't go bust and tell me that we're going to, instead of giving you $1, we're going to give you 25 cents?
That's a cliffhanger is what that is. Let me, before we got to run to break, but give me what are the round numbers? How much is the lump sum offer, one big check into your IRA versus the monthly amount?
About $225, and the monthly amount would be about $1,500 a month.
All right, we're going to do some math. We're going to do some math with Rick, contemplating, does he take the monthly amount? Or does he take the lump sum, which is a better deal for Rick and his family? So, Rick, hang on a sec. We're going to come right back. You're going to answer this very important question. Next Sunday, by the way, here on Money Matters, is going to be pension versus lump sum Sunday. You're listening to Money Matters right here, News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss, certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlanta's Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta, Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here on Sunday morning. It's 10:35, and we're going to go back to the phones here. Rick from Atlanta was on the phone. Rick, thanks for holding, and I know that we've got kind of a, this is some math, that we're going to do some math here with you. Rick is I don't know, tell me, Rick, are you thinking about doing this, or is the company kind of coming to you? And again, you didn't say the company, and that's fine in this case. There's a lot of big companies in Atlanta that are doing this exact they're approaching their employees just like you, and they're saying, "Hey, we want you to exit today." Or is this just planned? Is this kind of your normal retirement date anyway? Were you already kind of expecting this?
This is something that I'm preparing for. Okay. Within the next 4 years, I can retire.
Okay, so the numbers here, the lump sum offer is, and we're going to do the 6% test just to start out of the, that's the first test that we want to do. And if you are just tuning in, we're trying to decide or help Rick decide what's a better deal, to take the $225,000 that is a lump sum that would roll into his IRA, pension lump sum, versus a monthly amount for the rest of his life from the company, and he doesn't have to worry about investing the money, and they're on the hook for this obligation for as long as he lives. And Rick, are you married?
Yes.
Okay. So the numbers are $225,000 on the lump sum and then $1,500 a month. Now, is that $1,500 if it's just on you and your life, or is that the with 100% spousal benefit?
100% spousal benefits.
You and your spouse together. Okay. So that's $18,000 a year in perpetuity. Now, the other thought, just remember too, another variable, pensions almost never have any sort of COLA or cost of living adjustment. They don't go up with CPI, the consumer price index. They don't go up with inflation. So you kind of get locked into that amount for the rest of your life. And that's another pretty big consideration. How old are you, Rick?
I'm 63.
63. Okay. So 18,000, and then I take, which is $1,500 times 12 to get an annual amount, $18,000, divided by $225,000, which is what you could have instead. And that's an 8%. That is a rich monthly pension. So and you're sure in these numbers, that's for you and your spouse, $1,500 a month times 12 is $18,000 divided by the lump sum, $225,000. This meets and exceeds the 6% test. So very often when I do these numbers, I want in order for you to even begin to consider the monthly amount, it needs to beat the 6% test. And the 6% test, very simply, is the math we just did. You take the option that you're thinking about. Typically, you want to cover you and your spouse. Now, you're not always, but depending on the situation, very often I'd say that's the most common way I see these play out, if you're going to take the monthly amount. Because if something happens to you, in 2 years, you don't want the money to just stop. You want your spouse to have it for the rest of their life, right? So we have, but I want that monthly number to equal at least 6%, because remember, you can just take the lump sum, put it in a bank account, zero interest, pull 5% a year out, and that still lasts for 20 years. So when a company's going to say, when you do the math and it comes out to 5.5%, all they're really saying is, hey, for the next 20, we're giving you, not really giving you 5% or 5.5%. They're kind of giving you your own money back, which is 5%. So it's got to be in addition to that. That's why it's got to at least meet the 6% test. And in this case, it does. It's difficult for you to go out to the marketplace and guarantee yourself 8% a year in perpetuity for forever. So I'd say in some respect, out of this first major consideration, does it meet or exceed the 6% test? In this case, the monthly amount, Rick, does. Meaning that this would help me lean towards taking the monthly amount versus taking the lump sum. So that's interesting. The second question would be, put a check in the column for the monthly amount. The other thought here, Rick, is that you also have an amount that if something were to happen to the company, the monthly pension amount is still covered by the PBGC. So you mentioned something in the beginning of the call, and you said, I'm worried that if I take the monthly amount and something happens to the company, now I'm only going to get 25 cents on the dollar. Legitimate concern, important to think about. You've got to think about the financial wherewithal for your company over the next, not 5 years, but the next 10, 20, 30 years, the rest of your life. And you don't want to be getting a paycheck or a monthly pension paycheck that you're relying on from a company that's kind of teetering on whether it's going to survive or not. However, remember, we do have the PBGC, the Pension Benefit Guaranteed Corp, that says, look, if your company fails and you're getting a pension, we're essentially or a quasi-government agency that's going to step in and effectively insure your pension and keep paying you for the rest of your life. I would say out of the families that I work with, Rick, that have a pension, I would say more than half of them are now getting their monthly pension from the PBGC because the company they used to work for went out of business or had some sort of Chapter 11 filing. So the PBGC pays out a lot of pensions. And I think there's a little bit of a correlation there because a lot of companies that had big pensions, it was such a burden and cost on the company, and that's why they don't offer them anymore. It helped bring them, effectively bring the company down, and it was difficult on their financial health. Hence, here comes the PBGC. Now, they have a limit, though. So if you have a really high monthly amount, then very often the PBGC doesn't cover all of that. In your case, you're under the limits here. You're underneath the protected amount. So I would say that, again, you're for the most part, you're safe to take the monthly amount. The third question here, and we already talked about covering your spouse, so that's already this monthly amount would continue to cover her if something happened to you. I guess the third part just has to do with your own investment liquidity, meaning that if you were to not take this 225 and you're taking the monthly amount, do you still have a fair amount of 401k money that if something happened and you needed to get to 20 grand or 30 grand or 50 grand, do you have a bunch of other savings that you can get to?
Yes, about 10 grand.
Well, okay, so 10, but now, so what about 401k? Do you have 401k as well or no?
Just a small 401k.
Yeah, so
I hope I have a small loss.
So if that's the case here, Rick, then if you had said, Wes, I've got another 250 grand in my 401k, I have $400,000 in my 401k, then I would probably say this is one of the cases where I would say take the monthly amount, because not only do you have this nice guaranteed monthly amount, then you're going to have Social Security for you. You're going to have Social Security for your spouse. Three separate income streams right there. Check, check, check. And then you've got enough in the 401k to give yourself another $1,000 or $2,000 a month. Another income stream. Check. However, because this would effectively take away your liquidity, Rick, meaning that you don't have any other money to tap into if you don't take this lump sum, that tells me that I would lean back towards saying you kind of do need to take the lump sum because you don't want to now be in retirement, only getting this monthly amount in pension and Social Security and have no money to get to. So if it were me, I think I'd lean more towards, I thought where we were headed here was a open and shut case, real simple. Hey, I think you should go monthly amount on this one. Monthly pension amount. I thought that's where we were headed. Because the 401k right now, it's not something you've participated in a whole lot, then I would probably tell you that you're going to have to be looking towards when the time comes in another year or two or three, unless you've got a bunch of other savings or maybe your spouse has some other savings, it doesn't sound like to me you're going to want to take the monthly amount. You probably are looking at a lump sum pension rollover, and then you've got to create your own income stream, which is another story, from that investment amount. Rick, thank you so much for the call. A lot to think about with these pension lump sum decisions. And we just talked about some of the main variables you got to go through. You got to meet the 6% test. If you pass the 6% test on the monthly amount, then you start leaning towards, okay, I like the monthly amount. And then if you say the monthly amount covers me and my spouse, that's another test. Check. The third area has to do with the amount of liquidity you have. So if you also have 401k money you can get to, then you may want to stick with the monthly amount. If you don't, then you're going to be in retirement with no real cushion. Then you kind of got to go back to the lump sum pension rollover. And I think that's where we ended up with Rick. Thank you for the call. Ryan and I were just talking here at the break. Next Sunday, we're going to do Pension Lump Sum Sunday. Pension versus lump sum Sunday, meaning that we're going to continue to take these calls throughout the show. I don't know if it's because it's the business we're in or the cycle that we're in big companies are doing this more and more and at a faster pace. They've always done this, right? I've been in the investment world for over 20 years now, and I've seen it year after year after year. There's something about 2017 and 2018 where I've seen the pace of this accelerate and accelerate and accelerate. And part of that, listen, we're in a great economy right now. And this is another really important topic I wanted to get to today. Here we are in an economy where, we've got a prize pack, Ryan. Okay, I'm sorry. We've got to do a quick WSB weekend prize pack. What do we have, Ryan?
The weekend prize pack is a pair of tickets to Lost 80s Live on Sunday, August 5th at State Bank Amphitheater at Chastain Park. Enjoy an 80s night of music featuring A Flock of Seagulls, Naked Eyes, Wang Chung, Berlin, Farrington, and Mann, original members of When in Rome, UK, Animotion and New Shoes, part of the Delta Concert Series. Tickets are on sale now at livenation.com. We have a trivia question because Chipper Jones is going into the Hall of Fame. He was a former number one overall draft pick, and he is actually going into the Hall of Fame. There was only one other player who was a number one overall draft pick in Major League Baseball that is in the Hall of Fame. Chipper Jones, and what other player?
Ooh, that's a good one. That I do not know. So the prize line, by the way, 404-741-0750. Again, 404-741-0750. Back to gross domestic product. Did I forget to mention that U.S. GDP for the second quarter just hit 4.1%? So real GDP, when you adjust for inflation, take out inflation, rose 4.1%. Nominal GDP, which counts inflation, at 7.4%. That's nominal GDP. The one you see mostly in the headlines is the 4.1% number. That's real GDP. Where did it come from? Robust consumer spending, solid business investment, surging exports. By the way, a lot of that is kind of pulled forward because of the worry of this trade war, this trade skirmish, and then increased government outlays. Those were kind of the four big factors that contributed to GDP. By the way, that's the fastest pace in nearly 4 years. This is broad-based momentum right now in this economy. And it goes back to saying that this expansion that we're in, which right now is the second longest economic expansion in U.S. history. It started in 2009. Here we are halfway through 2018, and we're still going and actually picking up steam. Again, economic expansion means a period of time we go into growth without a recession. Right now, second longest. If next summer we're sitting here and we're still in expansion, that will be the longest U.S. economic expansion. We've got to run to a quick break. We've got news, weather, traffic, right. We're going to news, weather, traffic, then more Money Matters. So stay tuned right here on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
Depend on it. We'll be back Monday morning, 4:30 to 9 for breaking news and traffic and weather every 6 minutes. News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. Now, here's more great money and investment advice from certified financial planner Wes Moss.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. I want to wrap up what's happening with, we've been on tariff alert all year here on Money Matters. Trump has been pushing all year in this global tariff negotiation. And the Trump administration needed a non-China trade win to build support. If he brings in the EU, his leverage, again, I've already said it's already significant, becomes massive. Then he can really press China for fair trade. And that's exactly what's happening right now as of this week. If the auto tariffs escalated, then the EU as a trade ally was off the table. That's not the case anymore, or at least for now. The US and the EU have agreed to negotiate on industrial tariffs, and the EU has agreed to purchase soybeans. Thank you, the EU, to make up for the fall off from China and the promise to purchase liquefied natural gas. What's this mean for you? What does this mean for us? You and I both know that whatever Trump's doing in Washington is not going to go in a straight line. But this is a huge step to validate this point, that the threat of higher tariffs may result in lower tariffs. The threat of higher tariffs may result in lower tariffs. That's what this game is all about. You know this. I know this. But there's a big chunk of America that still thinks Trump just wants to fight and wants a trade war. That's nonsense. Trump is only doing this negotiation and this dance to put us on better economic footing. And by the way, NAFTA negotiations, they have restarted, and it is possible that we could see a deal. We could be in a NAFTA deal by Labor Day. We'll continue to keep you updated on that. Again, GDP for the second quarter here in the United States just hit 4.1%. That's the fastest rate we've seen in a very long time. And I think we'll see that continue. Tax cuts are working. It's a lot working right now. We're going to continue to keep you updated on this. Next Sunday, we're going to have pension versus lump sum Sunday. So if you're thinking about, hey, I've got an offer on the table from a company, give us a call next Sunday. We'll talk about it. We'll talk it through right here on the air, try to send you in the right direction. A big thank you to all of our WSB listeners, too, for this week's Carathon. We raised over $1.6 million to go to the Aflac Cancer and Blood Disorders Center. Thank you, WSB listeners. With that, you can find me and the Money Matters team throughout the week. Go to WesMoss.com, WESMOSS.com. That's WesMoss.com. There's a contact button upper right-hand corner. Those emails come straight to me and the Money Matters team. Happy to go through these same questions throughout the week. Happy to help. We're right here in Atlanta, in the Southeast.